There are 29 supervisors present. That is a quorum, so we are ready to roll. The United States Congress has its own chaplain, and if we have anything that approaches that, it would be Pastor Debbie Huber, who has led us on numerous occasions and, of course, is the spouse of our Human Services Director, Jerry Huber. And we have her on tap for tonight to, again, inspire us as she always does. Please rise for the invocation.
I would first of all just like to say thank you for all that you do for us personally and also for New Beginnings, which is the church that I pastor, and just offer you all the blessings of this season. It's a wonderful holiday time. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this time when this group of people gathers to do business on behalf of La Crosse County. Lord, I ask that you would just be with them tonight, bless them, bring them into a unity of purpose, and I pray that any votes that need to be taken tonight would be done on the basis of consensus, God, and that there would be a minimum of disharmony. So just guide their thinking, direct them, Lord, to the business that you have directed, and as you, Jesus, yourself prayed, I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Continue with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that invocation. Now, everybody, you heard her, right? Consensus, being nice to each other and everything? Holiday spirit? Thanks again. All right, let's continue with the agenda. Reminder of your mileage statements. If you have not turned those in, they need to be in by the end of December. Effective on January 1st, we have the new mileage rate. The chair's report. Marion, why don't you just talk about both of those items there?
First of all, the mileage is due for this year from January through December. It's good to get that into my office by January. I think we have till the end of January, but finance likes that done as soon as possible. And secondly, if anyone is deciding not to run for county board, please file your non-candidacy forms by December 22nd. The deadline is the 23rd, but because of the holiday, we are closed. And so that would need to be done by the 22nd. Otherwise, the entire process will have to be postponed 72 hours for someone else to be able to take out papers. So I'd appreciate it if you are not going to run to file those papers by December 22nd. Thank you.
WCA Magazine?
Oh, in the WCA Magazine, I have a thing that I'm going to send around asking if anyone wants the magazine, and if they do, just check yes or no. And then we'll get that. That'll come automatically from WCA.
And we keep a copy in our office if you want to save the county money and just read it when you happen to be in the building. It would always be available, so whatever your preference in that regard. I just have one last thing, and that is to extend our congratulations to Dirk Gasterlin, who was recently announced as the winner of the Iverson Frecking Award for this year. Certainly a well-deserved honor, and that is it. So I'm hoping that people are going to be inspired with the, you know, trend that I've set for a short and, you know, concise report tonight, including Mr. O'Malley, who is next.
I've already been set up for failure. As you can see, we have a list of some items that. So I do apologize. The good news is I'm not doing this in PowerPoint. We'll just be walking through each one of these items. To start out with, I have a couple of introductions, one that requires a vote of approval and another one that will just be a new employee that we're having. So I'd like to ask Brian Fukuda to stand. Brian is going to be our new community development specialist. He's a local young man who actually graduated from Aquinas High School, has a degree from University of Madison in business and a master's degree in real estate and urban economics. And again, Brian will will be joining us as our new community development specialist. He'll be available to work with the Towns Association and Charlie Handy and Carl Green in our UW Extension office. And Brian will be joining us to work on economic development issues. You'll be seeing more of him. And he will be a regular attendee, by the way, at the Towns Association meeting and being an engaged part of working with them on community development. Brian currently is at the City of Onalaska as a planner and also comes with a real estate background, so he's going to bring a great deal of background. So, again, I just wanted to introduce him to you since we just made that decision this week.
Welcome,
Brian. The second gentleman I'd like to introduce is also a local man, Pete Idy. There we are, behind Gary. Pete is a local fellow that lives actually in the town of Shelby and currently serves as the administrator in Maranooka Manor in Galesville. And I'm recommending him for the Hillview administrator position that Jim Ertz is retiring from at the end of this month. Many of you on the Aging Long-Term Care Board have had a chance to meet him, and I know that under our rules of order as well as state statute, a recommendation by the administrator of a new department head requires vote of the county board, and that's actually the first agenda item listed under administrator report is number 1 /12. So I would ask the board to consider my recommendation.
Moved by Dirk Gasterlin, second by Audrey Cotter. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Welcome, Pete.
Welcome aboard.
Next in the agenda is actually handled by a memo to you. If you grab your agenda packet, hopefully you've had a chance to read this. It's in relation to some short-term items related to both JDF staffing and jail staffing. Following the county board budget debate last month, it was clear that while there was a majority vote on making some decisions both for the JDF and a closer vote on jail staffing, I felt the responsibility that because the vote was so close the next day to reach out to the sheriff and talk more about if there was some way of bridging the gap on what was happening. I think it's clear that we're going in the direction of streamlining staffing and being in a position that in the jail to continue to save staffing efficiencies as we consolidate the three facilities. However, in the resolution and in the budget that was adopted, there were three young men with low seniority that would end up being laid off. And at the budget session specifically, the sheriff had suggested some other vacancies that may have been occurring that I wasn't aware of until that evening. And so over the next several weeks then, before the last executive committee meeting, we identified a number of things that are described in this memo. And just very specifically, there's a workers' comp vacancy. There are a number of maternity, or there's one paternity and two paternity leaves, as well as a committed to retirement that will happen later on in the year. So my recommendation to the executive committee and to the county board is to provide a transfer from the current contingency of a total of $87,000 so that we can keep the three lowest seniority jailers on until those changes happen. We'll revisit this then later in the year as we're preparing the 2007 budget, but allows us not to lose the training and experience of those individuals. It doesn't increase permanently the full-time equivalency beyond what the budget has, but it allows us to deal with some of the vacancies there. And the more that Mike and I talked about it, the sheriff and I talked about it, it would be a good compromise, since it was very clear that the vote was close in regard to the actual staffing, and I thought that would be a good bridge breaker, consensus builder to try to make sure that we take the right steps as we're going into this new era of closing Huber, eventually merging the female jail. The other item that's included there is actually a couple week a gap in the actual staffing between the JDF and the transition of a couple of people to justice sanctions. If you're able to approve this this memo and the recommendations that are included in it, we will end up being in a position that is consistent with your budget, but we will still not have to actually lay people off. People will be filling vacant positions that were created otherwise. So I think it's a good compromise, and again, it just reiterates that I'm always looking for ways to help help build consensus on difficult issues.
Is there a motion on the staffing changes? Moved by Keith Belzer to approve, seconded by Bernie Maney. Any discussion? Mitzi, did you have your hand up? Okay. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Again, thank you. Item 312 is a motion to approve the release
of... Before you get to that one, I'm going to turn the chair over to Sharon Malam because I'm on the fundraising committee for this project, so I'll step down momentarily.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. O'Malley.
Okay, thank you. On your desk this evening is a letter from the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association, which talks about the success of their fundraising drive and the project that they're moving towards. Tonight, the action is to ask you to release the $25,000 pledge that is pledged in the 2006 budget that would be paid in 2006. And that in response to this board's request, they are pledging to provide a payment in lieu of taxes dollar amount for La Crosse County. I understand that they're having a similar discussion or offer with the city of La Crosse. I'm scrambling for finding the actual detail because there was also a request to know what the assessed value and taxes were for the building that they're moving into. Just recently, from 2004 to 2005, and I haven't been able to find out why, but the assessor basically doubled the value on that building. So in 2004, the assessed value was about $349,000, and the taxes to La Crosse County for that year was $1,478 of a total bill of $10,000. By doubling the assessed value in 2005 to $724,000, the taxes on that same building would be $20,000, and if it were still to be taxable, the tax portion for La Crosse County would be $2,700. So their offer of the $1,000 pilot is pretty close to the dollar amount we were receiving in the previous year, but recognize under the current assessment, the dollar amount, if it were a taxable property, would be substantially higher. Now, again, a pilot is a voluntary offer. It's not directly tied into an assessed value or a specific linkage that way, but it is a voluntary offer by the Hmong Association to meet us partway on recognizing that they are seeking to take a property off of the tax rolls as well as meeting a good community need. So the request is for you to approve the release of the $25,000 for the next year's budget as indicated based on their offer of the payment in lieu of taxes.
Motion by Parr to... motion by Ms. Richmond. Motion to approve by Ms. Burke. Second by Mr. Bina. Discussion? Ms. Parr?
Thank you. Just for information, I can probably tell you why the assessment went up, because we had the assessors go through our area there. They were going house to house. So,
Mr. Schrader?
I see it that they are going to contribute $1,000 toward the pilot option each year. Does that mean every year in perpetuity? Or?
As I understand, payments in lieu of taxes, it's always a voluntary contribution that would have to be decided on each year by the Hmong Mutual Association. Since it's not a taxable property that requires that commitment, it would always be a voluntary decision on their part. But my understanding is that their offer is, based on current circumstances, they would intend to do that each year, and that's what the letter says.
It says each year. It just led me to believe that it was going to go on forever.
Forever is a long time, Jeff.
Well, taxes are forever, I think.
Longer than us in the room, that's for sure.
Ms. Richmond?
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Ms. Chairman. Mr. O'Malley, you mentioned that the taxes were $1,478, the county share. Do you have the city share in front of you?
Certainly. The $1,478 was in 2004. The city's portion was $4,076, remember, of a total bill that year of $10,324, and it basically doubled from 04 to 05 in each case.
And then also, being that it is now tax exempt, is that still going to be used as a Hmong funeral home at times?
That's my understanding, and as well as I believe they still have to go through the application and approval process for tax exempt status. I think that's still a yet to be determined.
Okay.
That isn't anything that would be resolved in the next 30 days, and I guess there's a state process and a city municipal process
okay.
that has to happen. But again, they're making a good faith offer based on their hope that they would receive that.
Right.
And again, I think being a voluntary offer, if they were to instead be determined to be taxable, I would expect they would reconsider this offer.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? We'll take a voice vote. Those in favor of approving the release of the funds, vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Mr. Hansen? Ms. Holman? Oh.
Schrader was no.
Three no's?
Can I take the question when you're done?
Your microphone.
I thought when we said we were going to give them the money, it was going to be based on the fact that we would know before we gave them the money whether they were going to be tax exempt or not. So shouldn't, however we word it, say we're giving it to them not pending tax, we're just giving it to them.
Just to clarify, my understanding was the determination was that you wanted to hear more that the project was actually going to happen, that because at the time you voted on this initially, there was some question about whether or not the project was going
to
proceed.
We were
at
the
that
first
site.
Ones to donate, weren't we?
We were early in the process. The second
okay.
piece.
The vote has been taken. That should have been discussion prior okay. to the vote. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next item that I have under my list of bullet points is budget wrap-up suggestions. We spent some time with the executive committee at their last meeting, and staff is having kind of a debrief in finance on what we thought went well, what we can prepare for the 2007 budget. We're looking at if there are ways specifically of moving the budget cycle up just a little bit earlier so that we're not as scrambled at the end on some of the issues that we talked about, and trying to look for ways to improve that. So we could have a long discussion about that here and did at the executive committee. If you have additional items as a board member that you'd like to have us insert into the budget process that are on your mind now, please talk to me, or if you want to bring it up in this context, please do that. Again, what we will end up doing very early on is some kind of an early process setting budget priorities by the whole board. There will obviously be committee engagement and many of the features that we had that you liked about this year's process, but we're always trying to improve. Now, one of the things that I wanted to take a moment to highlight is with all of the goals and objectives that you added to and updated in this document, we will be amending this and finishing it, and it eventually will go out on the website. And just like last year's document, all of the budget summaries, the totals, will be in this document. We will make a copy of this for every county board member so you can very quickly refer to the goals and objectives that you and us have set as staff for all of your departments, as well as the total of all of the line items by salaries and capital and other expenses. So it'll make it very easy for you to refer to where you've made your spending priorities. We are also going to produce, obviously, the final adopted line item book. And my question tonight, in addition for you to think about anything else that you'd like to suggest for next year's budget process, I'd like to ask you, except for those that really want a copy of the final line item budget, we won't make 40 or 50 copies of that document. Unless everybody wants a copy in addition to the narrative, the actual line items. Now, I know there are at least two or three board members that really love the line item document. We'll make copies of that. But unless you use that regularly, we'd rather kill a few less trees by not producing that big, thick document. So can I see a show of hands of how many people want the line item document? It's the majority of you will make 50 copies. But and Gary, if you'll help me get down the numbers that are there. Chuck, Don, Terry, Supervisor Parr, Supervisor Holman. We will also have Supervisor Friedland. We will also have probably one or two copies here in the boardroom that are just available, or if you need a copy. So again, the financial system has all the line items. We make all those amendments, but it was just a way that if you didn't insist on it, that we wouldn't print up 50 copies of that. Okay, is that all right?
Sounds good.
There are some questions, Mr. Chairman.
Audrey Cotter.
That's fine with me. I didn't ask for one last year, but then when it came to budget time this year, we were told everybody bring your full line item budget book. So and somehow we maybe, if we're only going to have one book, then we should be, that's the one we should be referring to in the course of the future budget.
Ultimately, if it was up to me, we would spend more time on the entire budget summaries than on the line items. To my way of thinking, that's more of a staff-driven process, is dealing with the line items. But I know many of you don't feel that way, and I don't want anybody to feel like you're not getting every piece of information that you want. So we'll continue to do this kind of dual process as we focus on goals, objectives, and priorities, and also provide to the line items as much detail as you want. And each year we'll keep revisiting that to make sure that your time and energy is well spent on that.
Thank you.
Betsy Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the budget book next year, excuse me, would you please add to it, and this is for Gary, I guess, the amount in our general fund and what percentage that is of our total budget, so that if we're staying at the 40%, I believe it's 40%, am I right? 40 to 50% if we're staying within that limit. Because according to the newspaper, Mr. O'Malley, you said if we keep spending the way we are, we ain't going to be in that area. That was in the paper. I read it and I thought, this is weird.
And if it's in the paper, it must be true and not out of context. So I don't know
what
you're...
I wouldn't say that.
Can hardly wait to see your quotes tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I don't know when I said that, but anyway.
Tara Johnson. Jody.
Just to clarify, you're talking about the corrected from all that we did.
Right.
Next year when we go through this process, we're all still going to get the, or whoever's here at that time, I guess,
right,
is going to get the two separate pieces.
Right, the county administration.
This is just the corrected version.
This is just the completed adopted budget for 2006.
Amendments since it was originally.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Any other questions? No? Okay.
Okay. Next item, county administrator evaluation. There were probably well over half of the board members didn't fill out an evaluation, and if you'd like to fill that out, Marion has additional copies. So as the executive committee reviews next steps with a successor contract to my two-year agreement, my initial 2 years, you still have time to turn in additional items. There are blank copies that Marion has. So please do that if you'd like, and then I'm sure later on we'll end up distributing a summary. The summary of the ones that have already been submitted by board members and department heads has been provided to the executive committee, but we want to make sure and encourage anybody that didn't get a chance to give me input and to give the executive committee and board members input. Please fill that out. Marion has a copy of that. Last but not least, my written list here is provided a copy of the CMO financial report. I know that the Health and Human Services Board has been receiving this on a monthly basis, and we'll probably continue to keep you up to date as we go into the new year. I know that in January or February, we will be talking about an amended CMO budget because of the revenue and some other issues involved, and we'll bring that back to you. But I just wanted to highlight that is here, and if you have additional questions, either now or to get back in touch with us, we'll continue to keep you up to date on what's happening in the care management organization financially. A couple of quick announcements that I do want to touch on. One, there's a small card on your desk talking about a community event, Dr. Martin Luther King Observance. La Crosse County is one of 11 organizations in the community that are helping sponsoring this. We're going to be encouraging department heads and managers to attend it if they're able to, as a training item on diversity and cultural issues. There's a One Woman Act that's known actually nationwide, raising issues about cultural awareness and discrimination and those kinds of things. So it'll be another powerful event here in La Crosse. It is free to the public, so if you have a chance to attend, I think it'll be an evening well worth spent. There's the La Crosse Girls Choir, School Girls Choir is going to be opening the event. There's food going to be there for purchase, as well as other things. So encourage you, if you have a chance, or if you know someone else that is available that night, pass the invitation on. And last but not least, the Wisconsin County's Legislative Exchange is going to be February 7th and 8th. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday in February. While there's not registration materials out yet, if we can get early indication of who might be attending, that, by the way, happens during our committee week. So at the next executive committee meeting, I want to talk about if we need to adjust any of our meeting schedule, because I'm going to be on a panel that they've asked me to be on at least one of the days. So we want to make sure that we're conscious of conflicts with committees, as well as people that are attending that, because that policy planning meeting the night before February 6th will be a rollout of the results of our county road study that is coming to completion. And we want to look forward to that. You're going to get some update. Public Works Committee will get an update, as well as the full board, on the condition of our roads and five-year capital improvement projections. So Executive Committee will deal with some of these agenda items. So if you're planning to attend the Legislative Exchange February 7th and 8th, please let Marion or myself know so we can try to figure out what's happening with committee schedules that week. So again, I apologize for the length of my report, but at least you didn't have to sit through a PowerPoint that would have had great charts, I promise.
I'm sure they would have been great. Is that it for your report,
yes,
then?
Yep.
All right, thank you. Cards and correspondence are on the board back there. I don't know if there's anything, or a lot of stuff anyway, new this month. Committee meetings held during recess. I've not heard that we need any. Am I correct in that regard? Okay. Appointments, I guess, Sharon Malam, we'll get you back one more time up here.
Mr. Doyle?
I have two appointments. First is Don Vena to the La Crosse County Ag Society for a one-year term, and secondly, Kent Sween to the Historic Sites Preservation Commission for the balance of a three-year term.
Second by Ms. Parr. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously.
Thank you. Next, we have the consent agenda, moved by Mr. Plesha to approve, second by Leon Paff. Discussion on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Starting with committee reports, Mr. Hammes, you're up.
Conditional use permit number 698, Bradley Lukey, on behalf of Carl and Donna, Jeremy and Casey Lukey. This is to to operate a venison processing business in existing remodeled milk house with a milk house attached to the barn. The committee approved it on a 5 in favor, 2 excused, with 11 conditions. This was approved by the town board and by the committee. I move for its approval.
Mr. Amos moves the committee report, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Zoning permit number 1679, Brian Cottrell. This is the rezone from exclusive agriculture to agricultural district A, to build a single-family home. It was approved by the town board and the committee. The committee vote was 5-2. I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Hammes, seconded by Mr. Gasterlund to approve the committee report, which was to approve the petition. Discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Petition number 1680, Lori Blanchard, to rezone from traditional ag to residential A in Town of Holland, 10 acres. It passed a committee on a 4-2 with two excused and one abstention, which was myself. Mr. Chairman, I'll let someone else put on the floor.
Somebody want to make a motion in that regard? Mr. Sharon Malam moves to approve based upon the committee report, seconded by Jeff Schrader. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. One abstention on that, right, George?
Yes, abstain.
Okay.
After the fact, conditional use permit 699. Gerald Grunzel, this is to operate a taxidermy business in the town of Bangor. It was approved by the committee on a 5-2, five in favor, two excused, and it was approved by the town board. I move for its approval.
Seconded by Mr. Bina Ms. Bina? Are you seconding it first, though? Okay, seconded by Mr. Bina to approve the committee report, which is to approve. And, Mr. Bina, you have an amendment.
I had a telephone call from Mary Grunzel, who was here tonight. She asked, and zoning had no problem with changing the hours of time of operations. It seems as if she wants to go Monday through Sunday. In item number 2, hours of operation 8 to 9:30, Monday through Saturday, it says, but she would like to go through Sunday because the days of hunting, the 2 weeks of hunting, if we get warm weather, they need to get those deers into her so she can cool them before she works on them for the taxidermy business. So she would like to see it read Monday through Sunday instead of Saturday.
So you're making that as an amendment?
Yes,
I am. Is there a second on the amendment? Second by Terry Hansen. I have a question for Corporation Counsel or Mike Weibel. If the county board amends this, what? Obviously we have the town involved in this process. What do we need to keep in mind in that regard? Anything? Okay, Bill says we have to notify the town.
The town board chairman I talked to the other day off the record, and he didn't have any problem with changing the time.
Okay, well, so we notify the town, and if they object or they agree, let's enlighten the board on the significance of an amendment, because we don't get those very often.
Right. It would go back to the town. The town would have an opportunity to approve or deny, and then if they approve, then it's passed, it's completed. If they for whatever reason deny, then it would have to come back through the committee to the board again.
Okay. Discussion on Mr. Bina's amendment to change the days of operation. Okay. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. We now have the petition as amended. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next petition is 1681, Bernard Milsna, rezoned from exclusive agricultural district to agricultural district A, was approved by the committee on a 5 in favor, 2 excused, and was approved by the town board. Mr. Chairman, I move for its approval.
Mr. Hammes moves the committee report, which is to approve the petition. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next petition is 1682, Joseph Zitlow, to rezone from exclusive agricultural district to agricultural district A, town of Bangor. Was approved by the committee on a 5 in favor, 2 excused. Mr. Chairman, I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Hammes to approve based upon the committee report, seconded by Mr. Schrader. Any discussion? Jill Billings.
I noticed in the committee minute
minutes that Jeff Blushke said there was a traffic concern. I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Can anybody respond to that? Mr. Beenan, do you have an answer on that?
The road going into the property, and there's only one farm back in the road, haven't been kept up too good by the town in years gone by. It is a narrow road, and it needs some work. If we have more people living back there, the town agreed that they will put it on their plan to fix it. It is a narrow road, and it's getting broken up. But as soon as there's a need, if there are two or three other houses being built in the area, why, the town will put it on the agenda for fixing.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Conditional use permit number 700, Donald and Karen Heidel, revocable trust. This is to excavate some or sell some borrow material. The committee approved it on a 5 in favor, 2 excuse with 5 conditions which are attached. I move for its approval.
Mr. Amos moves the committee report, which is to approve with certain extra conditions. Seconded by Leon Papp. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. One more for you, Mr. Hammes.
Yes, we have a resolution that we met here at 5:30 this evening. It's the approval for waiver of the La Crosse County permit fees and disposal costs for the Rebuilding Dreams project, whereas for the second year, the La Crosse Area Builders Association has sponsored Rebuilding Dreams project for a deserving family of La Crosse area in which a dilapidated house was transformed into a dream home in 1 week. Now, therefore, it be resolved, the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the Zoning, Planning, and Land Information Department and the Health Department and Solid Waste Department to waive all fees in the disposal, all county permit fees and disposal costs associated with the 2005 Area Builders Association Rebuilding Dreams Project. Financial note, the following fees would be waived: erosion permit $50, zoning permit $50, various permits $150, on-site fee $125, septic permit $375, $75 state portion of fee is not waived, solid waste disposal cost, demolition $37 a ton, commercial waste $63 a ton. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Moved by Mr. Hammes, second by Terry Hansen. Any discussion on this? Misty Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there a reason that this didn't go to the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee regarding the solid waste?
Anybody have an answer on that? I assume probably timing. Would that be the... Yes, Bill says yes, that's why.
Well, if there was a meeting before, we could have been included. There was one before this meeting.
Any other discussion? Shirley Holman? Microphone.
My question was in regard also to solid waste. You say $63 a ton and $73 a ton. Do you know how much that's going to be?
I'm sorry.
Jimmy, can you answer that?
According to information that we received today from the Solid Waste Department, it totals $3,099.
Okay. Because I know we've done this before for pickup on the Mississippi River, but we've always brought it before the board to do this.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Other than the what Supervisor Holman just mentioned, the Mississippi River cleanup and waiving of fees for disposal of that, my question is, have we been approached to waive fees for other similar projects like a Habitat for Humanity building or other not-for-profits who might be making purchases of buildings or adjustments to building sites? My concern is precedent setting on this, and kind of like the discussion, well, I just am wondering if we've been asked to waive fees in the past and whether or not we've taken the same action and whether or not we anticipate that this will come again and perhaps from others if this is in fact a precedent that we're setting.
Anybody know the answer on that?
I talked with Jeff Buskey, who isn't here this evening, about this. We haven't been approached before. I see Mike Weibel also nodding his head, saying that we hadn't been approached before. The way that I know that the city of Onalaska has dealt with a very similar request was that they would consider one a year. And so rather than saying it's anybody and everyone, that they would consider it on a case-by-case basis, no more than one a year, in specific relation to building permits and fees. And I think that's that was the intent of staff in bringing this forward.
I would ask then that that we codify that somehow through a policy for the county as well, if that doesn't exist for us currently, and that come back to us. I don't know whether it needs to come through a committee, executive, or whatever. But I mean, I'm happy to support this one exception, but I do have some concern that we are going to open ourselves up for other exceptions and what that might cost the taxpayers.
Are you making it as an amendment or as a suggestion? Okay. Misty Parr.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I kind of got a problem with that, and the reason I have is yes, we have had other requests, and it was in the household hazardous materials where we have had people who are nonprofit to bring in paint and whatever into that, and that's always been a no. So I guess what Tara is asking is we need to put something together because they have been told no one has to pay, so...
We should probably start that issue in Public Works and Infrastructure, so I would ask that that go on the agenda for next month, and then from there it can go to Executive Committee, but it should probably start in Public Works. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Hammes? Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Sharon Malam.
Item 1512, designation of an official newspaper for 2006. Whereas the La Crosse County Board rules and Wisconsin stats require the designation of an official newspaper, and the La Crosse Tribune meets these qualifications. Now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse Tribune is designated and approved by the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors as the official newspaper for La Crosse County for the year 2006, expiring December 31st, 2006. There is no fiscal impact. I move to approve.
Moved by Sharon Malam, second by Dirk Gasterlin. Any discussion? Terry Hansen?
I promise to keep this short. According to Statute 98503, is there any other newspaper in the area that qualifies?
Dirk Gasterlin?
One time in the past, West Salem was designated as the official newspaper for one year and 1 year only, because nobody read it.
Ooh.
Maybe that's a good thing, though.
My understanding that the same company owns all of them these days anyway, so... Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 1612, modification of compensation plan for non-bargaining employees for 2006. Now therefore be it resolved that those employees and officials covered by the non-bargaining pay schedules have been set for 2006, reflecting an across-the-board increase of 3% effective January 1, 2006, except that University of Wisconsin schedule will be adjusted to maintain the 60-40% funding split with the university system as done in prior years, based on University of Wisconsin rate changes, and minimum wage positions will remain indexed to minimum wage, and be it further resolved that vacation entitlement for said employees shall be amended to 5 weeks after 20 years, effective on an anniversary date in 2006. Sick leave credits at retirement shall be amended to 50% payout effective January 1, 2006. To be consistent with union benefits affected in 2006. Fiscal note, the estimated cost of salary and roll-up for all non-bargaining employees for 2006 is $447,687 for a wage, fringe, and benefit package cost of 3.41% for which funding has been budgeted in the 2006 budget. There are approximately 437 employees covered by this resolution. I move to approve.
Moved by Sharon Malam, seconded by Mitzi Parr. Discussion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 1712, adoption of contract for Hillview Local 150 union employees. Now therefore be it resolved that the tentative agreements of the parties for changes to this contract for the years 2006 and 7, including across the board wage increases of 3% for 2006, 2% for 2007, be ratified as the changes to the working agreement between La Crosse County and the Hillview Employees Union, SEIU Local 150, effective as specified in the agreement when ratified by the union. Fiscal note, the estimated increase in cost of wage, fringe benefits, and roll-ups for 2006 is $208,643, a 4.62% package, and for 2007, estimated $173,219, a 3.67% package, for which contingency funding was budgeted. There are approximately 136 employees in the Hillview Bargaining Unit. I move to approve.
Moved by Sharon Malam, seconded by Jeff Schrader. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for Executive Committee? Thank you very much. Health and Human Services, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have Resolution 18-12 to the Honorable Members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding smoke-free workplace. Whereas employees should not be forced to risk their health through exposure to dangerous and deadly toxins in their workplace, and whereas the most effective way to protect employees and the public from the hazards of secondhand smoke is to eliminate secondhand smoke by creating smoke-free environments, now therefore be it resolved that the Wisconsin legislature is encouraged to support Senate Bill 430, Smoke-Free Workplace, to fully protect workers and the public from the known health dangers in secondhand smoke by adopting legislation that creates smoke-free workplaces. There is no fiscal impact for the county. I move its approval and ask to keep the floor after a second.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Vicki Burke. Tara Johnson.
I just would draw board members' attention to the handout that was placed on your desk labeled Secondhand Smoke Awareness Attitudes and Exposure, and on the back side, Smoke-Free Workplace Document. Clever creative titles, don't you think? And encourage support of this resolution. It passed unanimously in committee.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Sharon Malam, Terry Hansen, Carl Halverson, Andrea Richmond, and Mitzi Parr. Did I get everybody? The resolution has passed. You got them all. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 19-12, which is the first reading of an ordinance to create subsection 1154 of Chapter 11 of the General Code of La Crosse County entitled Outdoor Wood-Fired Furnaces. I ask that this be considered its first reading, held over for a vote next month.
While it's being held over, I would ask that actually it be put on your agenda for your next meeting, and give us a specific answer on whether or on how existing fireplaces or whatever you call it, wood-fired furnaces, would be handled. When I read through it, and I had mentioned that when we were talking about our agenda planning session, I don't want anybody to have any interpretation issues on it. I want you to say specifically they're grandfathered or they're not grandfathered.
Do you want an answer to that tonight, or do you want to wait until next month for that answer?
Bill?
I did do some research on that issue, and I believe that it would be similar to the non-conforming use that that you see in the zoning code. In other words, those wood-fired furnaces that presently exist would not be eliminated by this legislation. However, they would be subject to our other ordinances that the health, there's a health ordinance that talks about air pollution and human health hazards that might be caused by such a furnace, And we also have a public nuisance ordinance. So if those wood-fired furnaces, even those that are presently in existence, cause a nuisance in their neighborhoods, they would be subject to enforcement by our health department or other county officers that enforce the public nuisance section. So they don't get a free pass just because they're in existence before this ordinance passes.
Do you feel comfortable that the as it's drafted that that's clear?
Well, we could certainly add something you know, to the ordinance if it's your wish to do so, that makes it clear that you know, they would be allowed to continue, but subject to the fact that they cannot create nuisances.
I would ask the committee to at least consider that. Shirley Holman.
Yes. I was going to ask to have it referred back to committee, and for the following reasons: to allow input from the town. Mandaree received their copy late. They only got a partial copy, and they said, well, I'm sure we'll have a lot of our questions answered at the public hearing. There was a notice in the minutes that they were not planning on having a public hearing, not only to the grandfathering issue, but there was a question in regard to is the fee every year? Is the fee a one-time fee? Also, there was a reference someplace in there, and I can't find it right now, where if a township did have an ordinance, then this one wouldn't apply. So I'm asking that we give the towns at least some input, and I don't know when the next town meeting is, but I think they would appreciate being able to have some input. And I also feel that we need to answer these questions, and maybe we do need to have a public hearing.
Ms. Johnson, can you ask Renee to send a copy of your next meeting notice to the various towns?
Sure.
And then that'll give them a chance if they want to show up. Thank you, Ms. Holman. Mr. Ersham.
Thank you. I was just wondering if the local fire departments in the communities have had input on this.
Mr. Berg, do you have an answer on that?
No, they weren't contacted. The ordinance was taken from a draft ordinance recommended by the DNR. It's a state recommendation on that.
I think they should be notified so they have some input.
Mr. Mina. Ron, why don't you stay there in case you have more questions
okay.
for you.
I have a few more. I'm not sure if I'm looking for answers. I'm just asking that you consider something other than what's there already. This is an ordinance that's almost similar to what we have on the state level that's going through the process now, the livestock siting bill. And the big hot issue with that is the odor coming from large farms. How do you measure it, and how do you get a handle on how much odor there is? In that case, it's animal odor, and in this case, it's smoke. And how do you measure it, and how do you determine what when it's too bad and something should be done? I see about a minute. It didn't look like there was a lot of debate on this.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Bina. Were you asking him that question? If you're asking him a question, why don't we give him a chance to answer?
I can do that, but I guess I have some.
Good
other,
idea.
Some
Ron, what's your answer?
Okay,
do you
ahead.
Have an answer?
Well, as it exists right now, we do it on a case-by-case basis, and we do it on a complaint basis only.
Okay.
If we're contacted by neighbors that there's a smoke issue, then we have to try to go out and verify how big the problem is and whether or not what type of action we need to take based on each case.
Okay. That's okay. How many complaints did you have for smoke and these furnaces outside?
Over
so
the last,
up to this point in time?
The last 2 years, we had about three.
Three
late
total for the whole
correct.
County?
Yes, correct.
And you project how many of these outdoor furnaces are there? Is there 500 to 1,000 probably now?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. I guess with the high cost of gas and heating, people are moving this way faster because they own feedlots, they own woods, and they're now making wood. And so you can't blame them for looking at this. But putting a furnace in isn't cheap. It's costing the property owner $6,000 to $8,000 to put this in, mm-hmm. with maybe underground heat through the house. I'm going to suggest, and I'm recommending, that since the setback is going to be 500 feet for another house for putting a furnace in, I'm going to suggest that this is referred back to the zoning committee, because at the present time, if you can't build within 500 feet of a livable structure, we're going to have bigger lots. And if the bigger lots are going to affect the zoning, I'm going to suggest that the zoning committee review the size of the lots and maybe where they're sited, because we can't sell a person an acre or two, because that's not going to be enough. 500 feet is a quarter of a mile, and that means you're going to have lots consisting of about 10 acres in order to have this sited in the right place. And I'm going to suggest that it goes to the Smart Growth Committee. There is one put together by the county, because this could affect what happens in smart growth and the planning for the future. I explained about the court. It's not going to be a small lot. It's going to be a big lot. You're going to have a lot more smoke coming from a structure or a furnace that has green wood. Are you going to control the type of wood they burn? Because green wood will smoke a lot more than other wood.
There are things in the ordinance that address what type of material should be burned in the
furnace. I saw that, but you didn't say anything about green wood. If you cut down a tree and burn it, it's going to smoke to beat heck. I saw the penalty structure. I don't know how many furnaces there are out there now, but I do know that the two salesmen, in talking to one for a half hour last night, he can't get enough furnaces. He can't put them in fast enough because there's a big demand for furnaces out there. And I'm not sure. The grandfather clause I had, but I think Bill pretty much answered that. What's it going to cost the department? I'd like to know that in time spent.
Mr. Bill Skemper, Bina. Mr. Bill Skemper is trying to make a point of order.
Mr. Bina made a motion and nobody seconded it.
Right.
And now he's still going on.
Well, we're under the first reading, so it's okay. Permissible to discuss. But yes, he does not have a motion or an amendment on the floor. So right now you've said suggestion. You haven't said motion.
I didn't look for one at this point in time. I only got one more point here. There are probably 100, maybe 200 planned on being put in the near future, maybe 300 to 400. And these are guys that are just trying to save some bucks on high cost of fuel. I would make a motion that we consider having this put to the Zoning Committee and the Smart Growth Committee, and I'd make that as a motion.
Moved by Mr. Bina, seconded by Mitzi Parr to refer this to the Zoning Committee, also the Smart Growth Committee. Discussion on that. Is that an amendment or a motion? I guess it's a motion. Well, referral is automatic, so I'm going to call it a motion. Anybody have a problem with calling it a motion? All right.
Point of information?
Yes, Ms. Burke.
It should be comprehensive planning. Is that what he's talking about, rather than smart growth?
You're right.
We stand corrected. Any further discussion on the motion? It's already going back to Health and Human Services, as people should be aware. So the amendment or the motion is to send it to those other two committees. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
On the computer. Yes, if you want to send it to three committees. No, if you want to send it to one committee.
Point of information, is the full county board a conference committee? I mean, if different versions come back from each committee, then the full board acts as conference committee? Okay, thank you.
Yep. The motion is to send this committee to, or send this proposed ordinance to the Zoning Committee and the what is it, Comprehensive Plan Committee, in addition to Human Services. Maureen, are you voting? The motion has passed on a vote of 22 to 10. It will go to the three committees at this point.
One last point, Mr. Dunn.
Go ahead.
I would ask that there be a public hearing on this. People out there in the business of either selling or people who are installing on their own property know nothing about this. They have some serious concerns about it, and I am asking that we hold a public hearing at some point in time. I'm not sure if we put it all together to the point where we need a public hearing right now, but as soon as it gets put together, I would ask that there be a public hearing on it.
Your committee, the zoning committee, may want to consider adding it onto your public hearing portion, since you already have a public hearing, although George is shaking his head vigorously. Just a thought. I was trying to help. Mr. O'Malley?
Gary and I were just conferring, and we just wanted to clarify that 500 feet is not a quarter of a mile. It's probably closer to a tenth of a mile or less than that. Just, and we're going to check this out and get back to you on it. So.
Those farmers are always exaggerating. All right, next on the list I have Mr. Stabronik.
I pass, that's the point I was going to make.
Mr. Maney? Mrs. Holman?
Yes, while we're talking about secondhand smoke, we're talking about fire burning stoves in the community. I would like to ask if one of the items that the health department would look at would be burn barrels. Burn barrels are much more toxic than the wood furnaces that we're talking about right now, and secondhand smoke. So that's something I think we need to look at, because we do have a lot of them in the community.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Mr. Berg.
For those of you who don't know him, this is Ron Berg from the Health Department, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct in assuming that the state has no regulation on these appliances now?
At this point, they do not. And what's happening is all of the communities are drafting their own ordinances. We see some, I think there's some in the paper almost every week.
But the town of Campbell has an ordinance at the town level.
They had a problem over there a couple of years ago.
Yes, they did. They have an ordinance on it. And the way I read this ordinance, there's so many discrepancies in it that it maybe should be rewritten, or that we try not to regulate it, let the towns regulate it. And
that is part of the ordinance. They have the ability to do that.
They have it. But if they don't, then we're the ones that regulate it. That's right, according to this, according to the ordinance.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. And to me, I think the way that it should be regulated is by how much emissions that these appliances have, rather than us trying to go out and police everything that people are putting in them, which is going to be impossible. You're having some exceptions in there that they can burn paper and cardboard. Well,
pardon?
Wet
point
cardboard
of order.
And wet paper.
Yeah. Did we not vote to refer this?
No, we just simply we amended the referral to say that it's going to three committees instead of one. No, we have not referred it. I'm going to interpret it that we did not refer it yet, that we simply decided that it's going to three rather than just one. If we don't talk about it tonight, we're going to talk about it next month anyway. Let's try to get the questions out there so that people can answer them in the meantime, so that we don't, have confusion next time. Go ahead, Mr. Schrader.
Well, I guess I can make it short. I'll just move to table it and wait for the state to regulate it.
Mr. Schrader?
If it's not regulated by the state, I know I shouldn't be throwing all this stuff. I really think the township should be the ones that are, if they want to regulate these things, they should do it.
Mr. Schrader moves to table, seconded by George Hammes. The motion to table is non-debatable. Those in favor of tabling, vote on your computer yes. Those who do not want it tabled, vote no.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman. Is this tabling of the ordinance?
I'm assuming he's saying tabling of everything.
Okay, thank you.
The motion is to table. Yes, if you want to table it. No, if you do not. The motion to table has failed on a 14-17 vote with one abstention, so it is not tabled. We're still under discussion, and the next one I have on the list is Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple points. I really do think this is a health issue. I think air pollution is becoming more of a problem. There are some emissions controls that we have had for energy companies and such things. I see no reason to wait for the state. It's our air in our community. I would, if truly 300 to 400 of these are in the pipeline, I would like to see us get ahead of the installation and perhaps prompt the manufacturers to update their equipment to acceptable standards so the smoke isn't a neighborhood issue. There are people out there who have asthma. Childhood asthma is on the rise. I think that if we act to support our water and air sources, that it can't be measured in dollars and cents, because once it's gone, it's gone. And I would like us to move forward with this and be the leaders of the pack rather than wait for the state to go through their process. Thank you.
Leanne Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I agree with Jeff Moore that under the circumstances that it should be a town issue, because you take in La Crosse County itself, your townships are so much different, and when you get out in the country, there's different, well, there is room for them, for one thing. If you are talking about these ordinances that they're putting on, it would be totally out to do it in any township anyway. But I believe just that it should be a town issue and not even a county issue more. Thank you.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since tabling failed and it's going to go to three committees, which is the equivalent of a public hearing, I move to close debate.
Move to close debate by Mr. Geary, seconded by Mitzi Parr. All in favor of closing debate, say aye. Opposed, no. Two no's, Mr. Bina, Mr. Schrader. Three no's, four no's. Jill Billings, Maureen Friedland. Debate is closed, and we are done with this one. It's going back to those three committees.
No,
it's an automatic referral. I have a question for Corporation Counsel. on this ordinance, the way it's drafted, would it apply to county officials who light themselves on fire when they're... No, never mind. Never mind. Oh, he was out of state, out of our jurisdiction. Wouldn't apply.
Let's try item 20-12.
Let's do that.
Which is an ordinance to amend section 12.07, parent 2 of chapter 12 of the General Code of La Crosse County regarding private on-site waste disposal system maintenance program. And as the analysis reads, this is to conform county requirements to the provisions of the Wisconsin Administrative Code. I ask that this be considered first reading and we vote on it next month.
Anybody have a problem with that? All right. Sounds good. You guys have all the sexy issues in your committee, I see.
Let's
What's
try
next?
2112, also an ordinance to amend section 11.39, parent 2, parent C, 3 of chapter 11 of the General Code, entitled Standards for Beach Posting. Again, this change would bring La Crosse County into closer compliance with the Wisconsin DNR Beach Monitoring Program. I ask this be considered as first reading, and we vote on it next month.
Audrey Cotter.
On reading the analysis, I'm just wondering if people expect to have any hair-raising activities at the beaches. But just read it carefully.
Yeah, Mr. O'Malley thought it was beach posing when he first saw it. Anything else under the scintillating Health and Human Service Committee report for this evening?
Not unless we get something referred to us by another committee report.
All right. Thank you. Judiciary and Law, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 2212, to honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding authorizing the acceptance of the 2005 continuation of the Citizens Corps Council Grants Program. Whereas La Crosse County has received notice that we are eligible to receive a Homeland Security Citizen Corps Planning Grant in the amount of $15,999, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby authorizes acceptance of the Homeland Security Citizens Corps Planning Grant and that the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary budget adjustments. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board Chair is hereby authorized to execute the appropriate grant award documents, including the certified assurances certifying the county will comply with all terms and conditions of the grant award. Fiscal note, no county dollars are required as a match. I move for its approval.
Moved by Vicki Burke, second by Jerry Sobranek. Is there any discussion? Jill Billings.
I have a question about the Central Wisconsin Citizens Corps Council. What would the powers of this Citizen Corps be, and how and when would it be activated?
Ms. Burke, do you
know
the answer?
As I understand, the Wisconsin Citizen Corps Council is a group that will provide training for citizen groups. These are people who would perhaps be first on the scene to emergencies and therefore not groups like the first responder, but who also are many times volunteers, but just regular citizens who would get this training. Does that answer your question?
Does that answer your question? She says yes. Mitzi Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you read the third, fourth whereas, it tells you Neighborhood Watch, CERT training, that's what it's used for.
CERT training is Community Emergency Response Team.
Any other discussion, questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 2312, to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of donation of boat, engine, and trailer to dive rescue team. whereas the La Crosse County Sheriff's Department currently owns a 1989 Sea Ray Laguna boat with a 1997 250 horsepower Mercury engine and trailer that is no longer needed for law enforcement purposes as a result of the purchase of a new boat with funds from a Homeland Security grant. Whereas the dive rescue team is an all-volunteer organization that assists the Sheriff's Department and other law enforcement agencies with water rescues and recoveries, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the donation of the 1989 Sea Ray Laguna with a 1997 250 horsepower Mercury engine and trailer to the dive rescue team. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair and or the La Crosse County Sheriff is hereby authorized to sign any necessary documents to carry out the intent of this resolution. Fiscal note, the estimated value of the boat, engine, and trailer is $6,800. I move its approval.
Moved by Vicki Burke, seconded by Mitzi Parr. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Microphone.
Donated by the public in the first place, so we didn't put any dollars in to buy this boat ever. So.
Okay. Thank you for that information. All right. Is that it for you, Ms. Burke?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Next is Public Works and Infrastructure, Arlene Benrod.
Thank you, Chairman Doyle. Resolution 24-12, Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding La Crosse County opposes Assembly Bill 678, whereas Assembly Bill 678 and the substitute to AB 678 would allow trucks in Wisconsin to run at weight 9 tons heavier than the current legal limit. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board opposes Assembly Bill 678, the substitute to Assembly Bill 678, designated LRBS 0293/2, and any other proposals to increase maximum allowable truck weights in the state of Wisconsin. I move to approve, and I'd like to retain the floor.
Moved by Arlene Benrod, seconded by Leon Papp. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ms. Benrod.
Thank you. Over the last few months, I've met with three different people from Washington, D.C., and Madison, and also here in La Crosse. I have a gentleman here tonight who flew in to attend our county board meeting and answer any questions you might have. Andy Williams, who works out of D.C. office and lives in Texas. I'd like to ask the board to hear him speak on this.
Seconded by Mitzi Parr to allow Mr. Williams to be heard. Discussion on that? Mr. Meyer?
Is this a minor public hearing, or what are we having here? Calling someone in to talk? Where's the opposition get a chance to talk here?
This was brought up at our Public Works Committee, and there were questions, and I told them at the Public Works Committee that I would contact someone and have them come in, and if there's any questions, they'd be answered.
I don't oppose listening to him. I'm just saying that the other side of this situation is not here to talk. They probably haven't even been advised of it, so I'll probably vote to hear him, but I think that we should be listening to both sides rather than just one, whatever the situation is, whether it's furnaces or outhouses or whatever. Thank you.
On the motion to hear Mr. Williams, Mitzi Parr.
I think what's important with this one is that this has been going on for how many years?
Oh.
And everybody has been talking about it on the state level, WCA level. The loggers have been talking about it. It's true they aren't here tonight, but they have been at all the hearings that have been around. Thank you.
All in favor of hearing Mr. Williams, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are going to vote on the computer. Vote yes if you want to hear Mr. Williams. Vote no if not. A question for Ms. Benrod. Ms. Benard, you said that he was from the D.C. office. I didn't get of what? The office of what?
For transportation, is that correct, Andy?
Or with the National Not-for-Profit Group called the Coalition Against Bigger Trucks.
Okay.
I'm the Southwest Regional Organizer. Our Upper Midwest Regional Organizer took a break and is running a Lieutenant
okay.
Governor's campaign.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Vote on the computer. Yes. To have him be heard, no to not. The motion to have Mr. Williams to be heard passed on a 19-13 vote. Mr. Williams, could you come up to the podium?
Question.
Mr. Bina, or Mr. Bill Skemper.
Bill Skemper, Mr. Chair. Can we put a time limit, as long as this is not an announced public hearing, can we put a time limit of 5 minutes? Would that
be
reasonable?
Be shorter than that.
He says it'll be shorter than that.
My name is Andy Williams. I'm with the Coalition Against Bigger Trucks. We're a national not-for-profit organization that's actually based in Alexandria, Virginia, in Washington, D.C. area. I'm the Southwest Regional Director, which means I cover Texas, Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, and occasionally Wyoming when issues pop up there. We do have a Upper Midwest Regional Organizer who's taken a leave of absence to run a Lieutenant Governor's race in Arkansas, of all places, and should be returning if the Lieutenant Governor loses in April at the primary. She'll be back and be working in this area. We were kind of caught off guard. There was a measure recently introduced in the Assembly here in Wisconsin, 678, that would allow logging trucks to operate at weights up to 98,000 pounds. You may or may not know, there's been a number of statewide organizations, including the Wisconsin County Associations, the Wisconsin County Highway Association, Dan Federley, if any of you guys know him, the Alliance of Cities, the towns, a number of groups have come out in opposition to this, and we often get wide support from law enforcement, particularly troopers. And I don't know if any of you guys know Casey Perry, who's the executive director of the Troopers Association here in Wisconsin. On the federal level, he's also president of the National Troopers Coalition, who has come out and routinely held press conferences with us and helped us with the federal level with keeping truck size and weights from going out of control. Particularly, we're interested in stopping triple trailer trucks from being able to crisscross across the country. Those are in 16 states, and fortunately, with the help of Casey Perry, we've been able to stop the spread of triple trailer trucks. Also on the state level, oftentimes industries come to local lawmakers and ask to have their particular commodity be able to haul trucks at heavier weights. And in this case, it happens to be the logging industry. As Dan Federley put it this morning when I met with him, he says, you know, that is only the camel's nose under the tent. He goes, next year it'll be back the potatoes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until pretty soon the standard weights in Wisconsin would be 98,000 pounds. The problem with 98,000-pound trucks is that they would not be allowed to operate on the interstate highway systems because federal law caps the weights at 80,000 pounds. This raises significant concerns for folks like your highway commissioners and local governments because they'd be on your county and your secondary roads operating. The USDOT did a bridge analysis a number of years ago, and they're about to release a new one in 3 weeks, where they determined that on those roadways that those heavier trucks would be operating, at least, and there's more than, 2,000 bridges that are deemed insufficient to handle those weights. Dan Kopanky this morning and some officials crunched some numbers and determined that to replace those bridges would cost $1.73 to $2 billion to replace those. All those are going to come right out of the local government coffers. So that's the reason why we're getting significant support and opposition to this assembly bill from municipalities and counties across Wisconsin. With that, I'll answer any questions that you have, and I'm trying to be brief because I know you guys are ready. Yes, sir.
Jeff Schrader.
Just one question. It doesn't have anything to do with logging trucks, but does this in any way encompass the large manure facilities that are bringing things out onto the highway, beating them all to heck? Have you guys discussed that?
I'm not familiar with the issue that you're speaking about, so I'd hate to dive into that.
I'd hate to dive into that, too.
Just to give you, there's been a number of...
It was there. I had to say it.
We feel very strong that in the Senate that the measure will hopefully not see the light of day, but we believe that the Senate Transportation Committee, the numbers are there for this bill not to reach the floor. And having said that, we know that Senator Kapanke is on that committee and is a very important and crucial key to this bill. If it should ever make it to his committee, if we could have your support to give him the support that he needs to say no to this particular measure, it would be a big help.
Further questions for Mr. Williams? Anybody? None? Okay. Thank you very much. All right. The resolution is on the floor. Ms. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who's sponsoring this? Do we know what senators are sponsoring this?
I think
assembly people?
Mr. O'Malley actually has some information for us.
Yes, the Representatives Frisky, Sherman, Gard, Gronimus, Ainsworth, Petrowski, Mirsa, Hahn, Muser, Albers, LeMahieu, Williams, Wood, Souter, Gunderson, and Pettis, co-sponsored by Senator Zine, Brown, Schultz, Cannabis, Liebham, Grossman, and Jauch, referred to Committee on Transportation. And there is a substitute amendment submitted by Frisky and Sherman, which attempts to address some of these issues. The major community or organization sponsors or supporters are the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the Professional Loggers Association, and the Lake States Lumber Association, according to the information that Denny Osgood put together.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Ralph Geary.
Well, Denny Osgood isn't here, but obviously he's opposed to this because most county roads and secondary roads aren't built to absorb this kind of weight. They'll wear out quicker. We'll have to repair them quicker or repair them to higher standards to take more weight loads. This would have major, probably long-range implications to the county if you start letting these trucks of this weight start running around on the secondary roads. So.
Clarification on your comment, Mr. Geary. You said he's opposed to it. You mean he's in favor of the resolution, which opposes the bill?
Correct.
Just wanted to make sure people understood what you said. All in favor of this resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is it for you, Ms. Benrod?
Yes, it is, and thank you.
Thank you. Items for future agendas. Anybody have any of those? Mitzi Parr?
This is just a point of information, but I would very much like to thank the staff, and I guess Mr. O'Malley will have to give him credit for this, and Mr. Ingelson for the budget. I got my tax bill, and the only one that went up was the city of La Crosse. The rest of them all went down. So it varied, but I think the county was the best, if I remember rightly.
And we didn't have anything to do with anything except for the county. Just
that's right. So thank you.
Any
but
other
my tax bill itself did not go down.
Any other items for future agendas? Next item is, I believe, Terry Hansen.
Yeah, this being right before Christmas, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I hope you spend your holidays with your family and enjoy the love of your families. And don't forget the guys that are over in Iraq serving right now. And if you can think of it, drop them a card or say something for them. And with that, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Thank you.
Move to adjourn by Terry Hansen, second by George Hammes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Thank you all.